Right now, we get the hour rolling by getting on board the G&M Family Market phone line. Our next guest on the show is a winner of the prestigious Peabody Award, Emmy Award, Writers Guild Award. He's written for some of the most important shows in the history of television and is also a playwright whose work, The Fabulous Lipitones, will be the first production of the coming season at Penobscot Theater Company in Bangor. John Marcus joins us this afternoon. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Rich, it's a great pleasure to be with you. Kind of a rainy day down here in New York City, but this is brightening my day.
Well, it's already brightened ours just by having you here. Let's talk about the premise for the show. Were you at all concerned that everybody is writing plays these days about barbershop quartets?
Well, it's interesting because that's a subject that's largely been ignored by the current popular culture. In fact, we really enjoy sending up the whole subject because, you know, it's been for a long time the domain of a certain kind of guy who, you know, loves the nostalgic stuff. But the truth is we juxtapose it with a very modern day story. So it's about traditional things in America that we sort of turn on their heads.
Absolutely. And without giving too much away, the storyline involves the loss of one of the key members of the group, the tenor, on a particularly troublesome high note.
He, you know what, that was their lead singer, the guy who we find out has passed away, and he was so devoted to the group. I mean, he made their costumes, he did their arrangements, and he was the best barbershopper of the quartet, and he was so devoted there at a competition, and he held his high B flat as long as he could, and then he suffered a fatal heart attack, but he held the B flat until the end of the song.
That's dedication. I like that level of commitment.
Well, you know, if you're going to be all in, you might as well do that. And so we don't get to meet the departed singer, but we learn about his legacy and we learn about this group of guys who've been singing together since high school. They're in their 50s now.
And we learn about his replacement, who has a somewhat unique audition and then, safe to say, is not what people expected.
Well, we wanted to surprise people. You know, sometimes the secret gets out, but even if it does, when people are in the audience and this character shows up, sometimes you'll hear a little gasp in the audience because they weren't expecting this particular guy to show up. And the great thing about the story, too, is that every, say, 4 or 5 months, it becomes fresh again because it's always in the news.
Well, yes, and current times in America make it even more timely than ever with what's going on. And just reading online, so many theaters around the country are doing this show and getting tremendous reviews. Audience members love it, and I've talked to some of the folks at Penobscot Theater, and they say it's just a fabulous script. It's sweet, it's funny, it's smart, and it's thought-provoking. That's pretty good praise.
You know, it's always when you're in the kind of the bubble of writing something, and I'm the co-author. I wrote this with a very prolific playwright named Mark St. Germain, who also wrote some of the lyrics with his composing partner, Randy Kortz, who wrote music. There's a couple of original songs, and then there's some old favorites. But when you're writing, like when you're isolated, we wrote this like in his backyard at his picnic table, and we wrote this in my apartment in the city. You wonder and hope that people will latch onto the story. And this has been so gratifying because I promise anybody who comes to see this, they're gonna have a good time, they're gonna laugh. And when they leave the theater, they're gonna be thinking about things.
We're talking with John Marcus here on Downtown. John, a little about you. How does a kid growing up in Ohio decide that it would be a good idea to submit jokes to a legendary Broadway columnist?
That was such a no-brainer for me at the age of 16 because I knew that if I didn't succeed being a comedy writer, I would be forced to become a doctor. And we were three boys in the family, and my father was a physician. He was a small-town doctor. I was raised in a town of 6,000 people, London, Ohio, which, by the way, is the place where we based the play, The Fabulous Lipitones, is in London, Ohio, my hometown. And so my father was an old-fashioned guy. He was raised a Norwegian, and he liked being the town doctor. He was one of two or three town doctors at the time. And he just thought that if we didn't become doctors, we were failures. And so I was scared to death because I didn't want to be a doctor, so I started sending jokes to people, and when they got published, it was like, you know, maybe I have a shot at this profession.
You got an assignment writing for Taxi, for my money, one of the greatest shows in the history of television, and then were part of the original staff of The Cosby Show, which has already been acknowledged, rightfully so, as one of the most groundbreaking and important shows in history. On a personal level, does it bother you that you were part of one of the greatest shows ever done, but because of the circumstances surrounding the star of the show, it's a program that people just don't watch now?
Well, they don't have the opportunity to watch it because it's been removed from almost all its venues, except the fact that people have actually put the show back on. It's rerunning again on a couple of channels across the country. And, you know, when you think about what has happened, and there's a lot of tragedy all around for people. There's a lot of, you know, this is a very sad event or a series of events. And at the same time, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. There's the show, and then there's what we're talking about in the news. And they are two separate things, you know, and at some point people will probably be able to see the show again. That's my hope. At the same time, you know, I certainly want all this to kind of take its place in the courtroom and do what it's supposed to do. And, you know, I'd like justice for people if they were wronged. And but at the same time, I can still think about what happened when we were writing the show and the fact that we were trying to do the best work we could and make America enjoy.
And they certainly did. You co-created the spinoff, A Different World. You also worked with Al Franken on Late Line, which I loved. Didn't get enough people watching it. But that connection with Al Franken along the way also led to your recent project, The Barbecue Pitmasters, because, is this right, bad ribs from Al?
You know, Senator Franken hates it when I tell this story, so I'm going to tell it.
Of course.
He actually is the reason I began to learn how to barbecue. And by the way, Senator Franken's wife, Franny, is a native of Maine. She grew
That's
up
right.
in Maine.
That's right.
She's from there. And Al and I used to work upstate. I have this place in the Hudson Valley, and he and I used to do a lot of writing there for the show Late Line, which was the only show that has the distinction to have been canceled three times on NBC. And one of our problems is that we were on in between two regimes that ran the network, both of which hated the show. So that was one of our drawbacks there. But the critics loved the show. It was one of those timely and well-written shows. It was funny. It just was a bit inside politics, I think, at times. And Al and I were writing, and he decided to barbecue for me to make ribs. I didn't know anything about the cuisine because I was raised in Ohio, not a barbecue hotbed, so to speak. And Al made me these ribs, a very particular recipe involving marinating them overnight in a garbage bag with sugar and soy sauce and garlic. And he had me cook them hot, and we sat down together, and they were the worst things I'd ever had.
And so these days, you're the executive producer, the head honcho behind the incredibly successful Barbecue Pitmasters, seven seasons on Destination America, and people love this show.
It's very odd to me to be part of the show that I created and to be riding up in my elevator on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in an elevator with people that live and work in Manhattan and turn to me and say, boy, I love that barbecue show. And I'm thinking, why are you watching this? You don't barbecue. You can't put a grill out on your terrace. And they just like it because it's always on. They run this show like a nightlight. So they must not have a lot of other programming, with all due respect, but that's why the show's a comfort food for them.
You also directed a documentary about the effort to try and get authentic-style barbecue to some of our troops stationed in Kuwait.
This was, again, another thing that was inspired by Al Franken, because Al had done eight tours, USO tours of the Mideast. While he was a comedian before he became a senator, he would go at Christmas time, and he would go to some dangerous zones, and he came back from one of these tours like 4 years in, And he just said, you know, now that you're barbecuing, John, we should get some of the people that you barbecue with and go over there and feed a lot of these young men and women. They're from, you know, the South, and they understand the cuisine. So it took 3 years of planning and talking, but we wanted to feed our troops, and we did. We fed them in Camp Arif, John, and also at one of the undisclosed Army bases just 8 miles from the border of Iraq.
Rich Eichmann. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
No, it's like, and to get, we had to get the right machinery over there to do low and slow Southern-style barbecue so that they could have exactly what we feed people here. And it was one of the most moving experiences I've ever been part of, to see these young men and women who are over there because they've chosen to be over there, and they unquestioningly pursue the mission, you know. And that happened in November 2010, and I made a documentary film about feeding them.
We're talking with John Marcus here on Downtown. You also wrote for the Larry Sanders Show, of course, Gary Shandling passing away not too long ago. How important was that show, and how important was Gary in shaping modern television? Because that series was so far ahead of its time.
So, yeah, Gary was an innovator. I think about him almost every day. He was actually the very first person to pay me for jokes when I moved to Los Angeles. So I met him in 1979 when he was a first television appearance he was making as a stand-up on a show called Make Me Laugh, and I just felt like I could write for him. So I knew him from there, but then he hired me in season 5 to come in and work with Judd Apatow on the Larry Sanders Show. Gary was a brilliant writer and a brilliant storyteller, and he was surprising in his gifts. And he was honest and authentic, and he would never compromise as far as, like, trying to give these characters, warts and all, give them real identities. And he just was one of these people that surprised you with how funny he was all the time. And HBO was also in its, like, fledgling period, where it was really starting, like, when The Sopranos also came on. This show pushed the boundaries of what you could do on television, but it really was truthful and honest. And, you know, God, I miss this guy so much, and I knew he had just a lot more things he could have given the public, but sadly taken from us.
John Marcus is the co-writer with Mark St. Germain of the fabulous Lipitones. It debuts September 7th at the Bangor Opera House, Penobscot Theater in Bangor. And, John, did I hear you're coming up to see the production?
I am going to be there for opening night. I wouldn't miss this. I hear so many good things about what they're doing with the show, and the director, Michael Morata, sounds like he's doing a bang-up job, and they have a great cast. And so it's going to be a real pleasure for me to be in that part of Maine, which I have never visited. And I'm not even taking a plane. I'm driving my pickup truck up there because I'm not going to miss it.
Well, you'll blend right in. That'll be perfect.
Is there pickup truck parking spaces near the theater?
Almost exclusively, yes.
Well, I'll bring that. And I just want to meet all the people associated with this great theater. I've been hearing about it for like 4 years now.
Well, we're excited to see the show and excited that you'll be coming up to enjoy it right here in Bangor. John, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
So my pleasure, and I look forward to seeing everybody around this production and being there right in the middle row on opening night.
All right. Thank you, John.
My pleasure.
That's John Marcus, author of The Fabulous Lipitones, opening September 7th at Penobscot Theater Company in Bangor. You can get reservations by calling 942-3333. Go to the website, penobscottheater.org, or just stop in and see Doug and the crew right there in the box office on Main Street in Bangor.